This past Sunday was Mother's Day here in the United States, but the U.S. is the most dangerous country in the developed world for new mothers and mothers-to-be. And it's getting worse. An investigation by ProPublica found the death rate for new and expectant mothers is on the rise across the country. Indiana is among a handful of the most dangerous states for mothers. In today's feature report, we hear from Georgianne Catalona, a Bloomington-based maternal child health advocate who just returned from Washington, D.C., where she spoke with Indiana Senator Todd Young during this weekend's March for Moms.
The United States is the only developed country where the maternal mortality rate is rising. So when you look at places like the UK or Portugal and Germany, France, Canada, Netherlands, Spain, Australia, Ireland, Sweden, Italy, Denmark, Finland, so all the countries that we sort of compare ourselves to on health outcomes, the United States is far and away the worst for maternal mortality. So we're in this strange situation where we spend a great deal of money on our health care, but we have not very good outcomes for moms and babies. So just to give you something, kind of a way to think about that, if we look at 2015 in terms of deaths per 100,000 live births, in the United States it was 26.4 deaths per 100,000 live births, whereas in Sweden it was 4.4. In the UK it was 9.2. So we are significantly kind of off the charts relative to these other countries. Now, when we talk about maternal mortality, we're talking about deaths that are connected to childbirth and that occur either during pregnancy or in the first 12 months after the birth itself. And Indiana is, we're the 46th. We have the third highest rate of maternal mortality in the United States. So the U.S. is off the charts, and then compared to other states, Indiana is really like almost double the rate for the U.S. overall. So one of the things that is going on and that we're sort of looking at is, when did the deaths occur? What are the causes behind them? And how many of them would be considered preventable? So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, they have a way to analyze the data to sort of say, gosh, if we look at this, could we be stopping some of these? And they actually find that for the U.S., 60% of the deaths are in fact preventable. And more than that, the majority of the deaths occur outside of the delivery room. So when we think about maternal mortality, we tend to think like, oh, scary thing happens when a mom is in labor. But really, the majority of these deaths are occurring after she goes home or before she is ready to give birth, so during pregnancy. And then the causes of it, given that we're looking at something that is appears to be preventable and doesn't really occur in the hospital, we think that, for example, for African-American women, it's the effects of systemic racism, the wearing, the weathering on them, their bodies and their health, the implicit bias that operates in the medical delivery system and in the culture at large. For all women, just being a woman means that you're less likely to have access to care. And if you're living in a rural area, that's compounded by issues of transportation and just like not having a hospital, living in a maternal health desert, not being able to access prenatal care, general issues of poor nutrition. And those are all things that we as a community, as a society, we could address by, for example, increasing the minimum wage or providing paid family leave or providing a child allowance or making sure that we really allowed for there to be reasonable workplace accommodations for pregnant and lactating women. So it's like a lot of factors that are in our control that are create a container that makes it dangerous to be pregnant and give birth. There's also, of course, the hospital issues. So generally speaking, the World Health Organization considers that a cesarean rate of in the kind of range of 15 to 20% is the optimal rate. That means that you don't have issues of not enough access to interventions when you need them, and it also means then that you're probably not overusing them. So if you're looking at a developing country, then you want actually the cesarean rate to kind of move up probably because you're thinking like, oh, maybe not enough women have access to life-saving technology and to qualified healthcare providers. and birth attendants. But in a country like the United States, what we're looking at is, ooh, we're actually overusing that technology. So cesareans became a solution to problems that previously had been dealt with by other means. So a breech birth, a baby positioned feet or butt first, would be delivered vaginally in the past, and now it's an automatic cesarean. And we really aren't getting better outcomes by doing that. A cesarean is significant abdominal surgery. It certainly can be life-saving, but the overuse of it means that you're increasing the risk of hemorrhage, you're increasing the risk of other complications that go with surgeries, you're increasing the likelihood of post-surgical infection and thus necessitating readmissions. So on the one hand, it seems like, oh, it's fast, it's easy, it's straightforward for the provider. But for the patient, for the mom, it can be anything but that. And to overuse it is not a good idea. Cesareans are also the only surgeries we do where we go back to the same spot every single time we do one. So for a woman who's planning to have more than one child or ends up having more than one child, planned or not, if she has had cesareans and continues to have them, that makes her more at risk for ever increasingly worse complications. Just as an example, there's a thing that used to be considered fairly rare. It's called placenta accreta. An accreta is where the placenta doesn't attach. The placenta is that wonderful, magical organ that provides everything for the baby while it's in utero. And normally, it attaches to the uterine wall in a way that, after the birth, it comes away quite easily or relatively easily. And then, you know, the mother births that just as she births the baby, and then she's done and all is well, and her uterus begins to clamp down and to close off the bleeding, and everything proceeds as normal. That's sort of a physiological process. When the placenta adheres in the uterine wall over where the cesarean scar was, it doesn't always go well. So that's a scar, that scar tissue that's in the uterus means that when the placenta attaches, it does so in a way that can create a situation where it actually goes into the uterine wall. So the blood supply is going into the uterus and through the uterus in a way that means that after the birth, it actually has to be surgically removed. Sometimes it's not discovered until the woman is bleeding quite a bit, where she's beginning to hemorrhage. Hysterectomy often happens afterwards, and this is a problem we used to almost never see. It's on the rise, and it's on the rise because we're overusing cesareans. So that's an example of an overuse of an intervention, life-saving in some cases, dangerous when it's overused. I don't think any provider, any doctor, any midwife, any nurse, any birth attendant goes into a situation thinking, well, I think I'll, you know, put someone at risk today. On the contrary, I think what they are doing is the best they can with the information they've got and the tools that are available to them. Unfortunately, they're often working in very high-pressure situations where they are seeing a high volume of patients. They are trying to juggle the demands of an office schedule plus the demands of being in surgery, being on the floor, attending births, and they're doing it in a container, in a hospital system, in a medical delivery system that doesn't necessarily value, i.e. pay for, bedside attendants and patients. What it pays for is quick turnover and payment for the interventions you do. So that's why hospital labor and delivery units sometimes actually cost hospitals a lot of money, because it's a normal physiologic process that's occurring. It occurs on its own schedule, and it's often difficult to schedule staff for. It's way easier to schedule staff for an induction. It's way easier to schedule hospital staff for surgeries, for i.e. for cesareans. It's not so easy to schedule for unpredictable, we don't know when they're going into labor, we don't know when they're going to show up, and we don't know how long it's going to last when they get here. So we have this complexity that our medical delivery system is a business. It's healthcare is a moneymaker in this country. It's a huge part of the economy. People's jobs depend on the medical delivery system from the provider end of it. And that doctor that a mom is seeing may not work for a nonprofit. And even if they do, they still have to pay their staff. They still have to be able to keep their offices open. And so time is money. And unfortunately, and I know this well, having been a birth doula and having labor sat many times, Yeah, it just can take a while. That poses problems for an institution that is managing a lot of moving parts. And so when a birth begins to take too long, when pushing begins to take too long, when the doctor's going to be needing to go on vacation and we're trying to figure out, do we schedule the induction so the mom can be with the doctor she wants to be with, or do we wait and take our chances and run the risk of not satisfying anybody emotionally or seeming that their needs are getting met or providing them with who they had signed on to see. And all those little decisions can add up to an overuse of an intervention. Again, not out of malintent or the desire to cause harm in any way. On the contrary, oftentimes it's with the idea that, hey, this is really the best thing to do in this situation. But kind of it really isn't. So we have to change the entire structure of how we are reimbursing for activity. The fact that we don't have midwives integrated into the healthcare delivery system in the United States, and that would be a quick fix, actually, if we just put midwives everywhere and integrated them into the hospital system and into home visiting situations and all those things, because that would shift how women are being cared for quite a bit.
That was Bloomington-based maternal child health advocate Georgianne Catalona speaking about the rising maternal mortality rates across the U.S. and Indiana.